Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It is a beautiful Monday morning in Texarkana, Texas, and I hope that you had a great weekend. I had a busy last few days, and so Tuesday night, Dr. Chris Schroeder and I made our way from Texarkana, Texas to DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, and flew to Burbank, California to attend the Shepherd's Conference at Grace Community Church. That's John MacArthur's conference that he does every year, and we joined, I think it was about 4,500 other pastors and church leaders, elders, and deacons, and had just a wonderful time. I had never been to Grace Community Church. I've obviously seen it online. I've followed John MacArthur for years, and so it was great to be able to be there and to experience that conference. You talk about rolling out the red carpet for pastors. It was amazing. So a good friend of mine, he's gone before, and he's in tight with John MacArthur, knows him personally, and has played golf with him and stuff. And so he is one invited me. He said, hey, why don't you and another staff member join me and my son, and we're going to go to the Shepherd's Conference. And so he treated us and took us, had our hotel there and paid for our way to go to the conference. And so he told me, he said, now, don't eat at the hotel. Everything is there at the conference. And good night. As I mentioned, the red carpet for pastors. It was fresh fruit and coffee and eggs and cereal and Danish and candied nuts and ice cream and candy and taffy bar and, I mean, biscuits and gravy. And that was just the breakfast. And then, and everything is free. They had a shoe shine station just for the pastors to get a free shoe shine. You don't pay anything. They don't want you tipping anybody. It's their gift to the pastors. Lunch was In-N-Out Burger one day. It was special barbecue and just all this stuff for 4,500 people. That is a lot. And then dinner, you had to buy dinner. They had all these food trucks. And so they fed you physical food, and then they fed you spiritual food. And it was just a great time of teaching and to be together. And it's cool to be in a room with 3,500 pastors. So the church holds 3,500 people, the worship center. And then they had overflow of about 1,000 from what I was told. And to hear 3,500 guys sing praises to the Lord is pretty awesome. So if you had heard, John MacArthur had a fall. He, in the last several weeks, he's had a tough time. He had to have some stents put in. He said he was in the hospital for 10 days. And then when he got out of the hospital, he had a fall and he hit his head. He broke his wrist, and then he hit his head and had a concussion. And so that was difficult for him, but he did the Q&A on Thursday, and then closed the conference down on Friday evening, and did a tremendous job. And what a blessing! That guy's 83 years old. He is a great blessing to so many pastors because of this. And I'm not a Calvinist. I believe in total depravity to a point. I don't think we're so depraved that when God enlightens our eyes that we can't respond. But I do believe that salvation is from the Lord, and unless the Father draws, we can't come. I definitely believe that, believe in the sovereignty of God, believe that once you're saved, truly saved, you're saved forever, the perseverance of the saints. But the other parts of the tulip, unconditional election, I don't believe in that. Irresistible grace, I don't believe in that. I think the rich young ruler resisted, and limited atonement, I don't believe in that. I think Jesus died for everyone. I think 1 John chapter 2 makes that clear, not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. I think Revelation 20, when the books are open and another book is open, which is the book of life, I think that the Lord judges everyone based on their sin. I think that, as John MacArthur has said this himself, you're sent to hell for what reason? Because you did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, because you didn't put your faith and trust in Jesus. And I think that the Lord opens at the great white throne judgment, where everybody there is a rejecter of Christ, everybody there didn't believe, everybody there is going to end up in the lake of fire, but he shows them the book of life. And the question would be, why? Why would you have the book of life? And he says it twice. If any man's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I think it's because the Lord says, your name could have been there, that I died for you and you said no. You said, not your will, God, but mine be done. And that's why people end up in hell. So I have disagreements as far as Calvinism goes, but I love my Calvinistic brothers. I have some dear, dear friends who believe in Calvinism, who are five-point Calvinists, and that to me is not a test of fellowship. And so I loved worshiping with those guys. And I think this is true about John MacArthur and why so many pastors love him and respect him. He has stayed true to the word. And he clings to the truth, and he has said himself, hey, I don't have it all figured out. He said, surely there are parts of my theology that aren't right. I just don't know where they are. If I knew where they were, then I would change them. But nobody has everything right in the Christian life as far as the scripture goes. There's not one man that is infallible when it comes to interpreting scripture. Now, obviously, when it comes to the core things of scripture, when it comes to the gospel, we need to all be on the same page. The Bible is very, very clear, but there's some passages of scripture that are very difficult to understand that good and godly men can disagree on. I was talking to Alex McFarland one day. Alex and Bert have the program where they, you know, they answer questions concerning the scripture. And Alex said, do you know what the number one question is that people call in to ask about? And I said, what is that? And he says, Genesis 6, who were the Nephilim? And people have lots of different opinions about who the Nephilim were. There, 1 Peter chapter 3, where Jesus made proclamation to the saints now in prison. That's a difficult passage, and there are lots of different interpretations as to what that may mean. So nobody has it all figured out, and John MacArthur will say, I don't have it all figured out. But he holds true to the scripture. And he says, as it says in Romans, he holds to this, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. And he preaches the word, and he stands on the word, and he takes the shots for being faithful and courageous. And pastors like me love that. We love to see somebody who stands up to be counted, as the song says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And we need to be strong and courageous. And the whole theme of the conference this weekend was the remnant. And God doesn't work through the majority. God always has a remnant. And so if the world is going after it, just know that that is not from the Lord, because that's not how it works. God always has a remnant, and God works through the remnant. And so if you had lived during the days of Noah, if you had gone with the majority, you would have drowned, because God worked through one man, Noah, and he preached for 100 years as he was building the ark. From 500 years old to 600 years old, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he preached and he built. He's called a preacher of righteousness. And how did his ministry go? Not well from a human perspective. He won his wife and his three sons and his three daughters-in-law, and that was it. 8 people were saved from the great flood of Noah, from the great flood that's recorded in Genesis 7, and just 8. Can you imagine, as a witness and as a preacher, and you preach for 100 years, and it's a little confusing as to whether it was 100 years or 120 years. It says in Genesis 6:3, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever; yet his days shall be 120 years." So I have a little trouble with that, because it says Noah was 500, and then it was 600 when he went into the ark. So was he building a boat for 120 years or 100 years? I'm not so sure. He didn't have a successful ministry as far as numbers go. You know, as preachers, we like to tell people, hey, you know, I preached in this revival and scores and scores of people were saved. And we have the visions of the Billy Graham crusade where the people are streaming to the altar and, your buses will wait for you, that kind of thing. Well, Noah never had to say your buses will wait for you, because no one was responding. No one was coming. But Noah was faithful. I have such a great admiration for Noah, because he was a preacher of righteousness. He stood true, even though there was so much pressure against him. He was able to, as we say, stand alone. Micaiah in the Old Testament, the prophet, he stood before Ahab. He was able to stand alone. Nobody else stood with him. And John MacArthur is one of those guys that is willing to stand alone if need be. And one of the messages that was shared over the 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday conference, was about Elijah, 1 Kings 19, where he's fleeing from Jezebel. And Elijah says to the Lord, when the Lord says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, and I'm the only one. I alone am left who's standing up for the Lord." And the Lord says, "Well, that's not true." He said, "I have 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal, not kissed him." And so sometimes it feels like we're alone. And let me get this exactly right. He says it twice to the Lord, 1 Kings 19. "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And then the Lord says, "Hey, I have 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." God always has a remnant. And here's the wonderful the news, and now this is where I would depart from my Calvinistic brothers. And so the question came out in the conference, "Are you part of the elect?" And my question was, well, what do you do if you're not? Because if you go whole hog with Calvinism, salvation is totally a work of God. There's nothing that you can do. And so if you're not part of the elect, well, sorry, Charlie, you're out of luck. And so here's my take on that. Hey, you give the invitation as Peter did in Acts chapter 2. Come to the Lord, repent, and believe in Christ, and be saved from this present evil age. And the last of Revelation 22 is an invitation. And I think this is what the scripture is clear on. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. God's favorite word, come. Come now, Isaiah 1:18, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you consent and obey, you'll eat the finest of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Whosoever will may come. And whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, if you're not part of the elect, if you don't feel like you know Jesus, come to him in repentance and faith. Cry out to him. Ask him to save you, because he's a savior. And he will save anybody who will come to him humbly, contritely, who will cry out to Him in repentance and faith. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. For over 40 years, American Family Association has been on the front lines in the battle for the future of our great nation. They continue to stand for the biblical principles America was founded upon. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. Why not explore the benefits of including AFA in your estate planning? You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Contact Riley Wildman and the team at the AFA Foundation today. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit afafoundation.net.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, back fresh from California. As I was sharing in the first segment, I was at the Shepherd's Conference at Grace Community Church. And that's John MacArthur's church, along with, I think it was about 4,500 other pastors and lay leaders, and had a great time hearing the word preached and singing and worshiping together. Just a wonderful experience. But Friday, it rained. And you've heard the song, "It Never Rains in California." It's not true. It rained all day on Friday. Started early, and it rained all day. And when I went to the airport Friday, my flight left at 1:30. I went to the Burbank Airport, and I was very glad that I didn't have to go to LAX. And so we were just commenting, Dr. Chris Schroeder and I, that it's so much easier to fly into to Burbank, the Bob Hope Airport, than it is to fly into LAX, and the traffic's not as bad in Burbank. And so it was all these great things, but here was the problem. I was told when I got to the airport and I was waiting on the plane, hey, the plane hasn't arrived yet. And the guy at the ticket counter said, told me, he said, well, the planes, when it's wet, the bigger planes have trouble landing because the airstrip is not as big here as it is in LAX. So the plane was supposed to land in Burbank. Well, it landed in LAX. And they kept delaying the flight, delay. And finally, I asked the guy, I said, what's the deal? I mean, is this just somebody's best guess when the plane's coming? He said, yeah. He said, if it doesn't quit raining, it's probably not going to come. So I had to go get my bags and Uber from Burbank to LAX. That was a $100 Uber ride. Took about an hour and 15 minutes. And then catch a plane from LAX to DFW and then get in my car. And anyway, I arrived home in Texarkana about 1:30 in the morning. And here's the verse that comes to my mind, always comes to my mind, because when you travel a lot, and I don't travel a whole lot via air because I try and drive everywhere I go, because when you drive, you're in control. When you are at the mercy of the airlines, you can have long delays. But the verse that always comes to mind, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, James chapter 1. And so that verse came to my mind because, you know, everybody has the same experience when you hear, well, my plane's not here, it's delayed, there's layovers, now you're going to have to come up with another plan. You can get frustrated. And so the admonition from the Word of God is, hey, put that in the joy column. You have encountered a various trial. This is a test. And put it in the joy column. Consider it joy. The Bible doesn't say it is joy. It says to consider it joy. Consider is an accounting term. Just as an accountant will look at some numbers. Okay, put this in the asset column, not in the debit column. Consider it a plus, not a minus. And so I did that and was very kind to the people that were behind the ticket counters. And, you know, it's not their fault. So you're just kind to them, you know, and there's a long line and there's frustrated people. And so that would be a difficult job if you work in the airline industry and you work with the public and you have to share the bad news, your flight has been canceled or whatever. That's not a fun job. That's a difficult job. So those people need to be encouraged and not ragged on. And so anyway, the Lord got me home and I just put it in the joy column and was glad when I put my head down on the pillow in Texarkana, Texas on that Saturday morning early. Well, we are going to open the phone lines. The number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you if you have a question about the Shepherd's Conference or the things relating to Calvinism that we had touched on in the first segment. I do want to say this. I began a sermon series at First Baptist Texarkana last Sunday, and so yesterday was day two. Sermon number two in the series. We're doing a four-part series just on the book of Genesis chapter 3. I'm doing a Wednesday night series on the whole book of Genesis, but Sunday morning, just Genesis chapter 3, and I'm calling that message series Sin and Salvation. Genesis chapter 3 is one of the most important chapters in all the Bible. The book of Genesis is a critically important book. I love Ken Ham and his ministry Answers in Genesis, because they keep going back to Genesis. You know, Genesis is a book that is often maligned, and especially the first 11 chapters. Oh, it's just myth. It's fairy tale. It's fable. It's story. It's not actual history. And there's a great Hebrew word for that line of thinking. It's the word baloney. Baloney. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's exactly and precisely true. And then God tells you how he did it. And how did he do it? He did it by speaking. He spoke and it was done. He spoke and it stood fast. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And so God created everything in 6 24-hour days. There was evening and there was morning, day one, day two, day three, day 45, day six, and he rested on the seventh day. And Genesis 3 is key because Genesis 3 tells us how sin came into the world. And there was a literal Garden of Eden, and there was a literal physical Adam and a physical Eve, the first two people on the earth. First there was Adam. It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable to him. And God created Eve. He didn't create Eve. He created Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils with the breath of life. And man, Adam, became a living soul. He didn't create Eve from the dust of the ground. He created Eve from the bone, the flesh and bone of Adam. Because when Eve comes to Adam, he said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Man is Ish, she is Isha. She shall be called Isha because she was taken out of Ish, man. And the man and his wife, as the Bible says, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh for this cause." And the man and his wife were naked, were both naked, and were not ashamed. That's how the scripture ends in Genesis chapter 2. Such a beautiful picture. A perfect God, a perfect garden, a man and his wife. They were perfect. They were innocent before the Lord. They weren't declared righteous as we are, because as we see in Genesis 3, they could lose their relationship with God. As believers in Jesus, we can't lose our relationship with God. Once you're saved forever. But Genesis 3 tells us how they fell. They had one command from the fruit of the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from it, for in the day you eat from it, you shall surely die. And what do we see in Genesis 3? We see the serpent. The devil. Some say, "Do you believe in talking snakes?" No, but I believe in a talking devil. And that one that came to Eve was the devil. Revelation 12:9, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. And he came to Eve and he deceived her. He got her thinking negatively about God. God's not good. God can't be trusted. God's holding out on me. And then he just denied the word, "You shall surely not die if you eat of this fruit." And here's the deal. There are no consequences for sin, Genesis 3, verse 4. No consequences for sin. And Genesis 3, verse 5, here's the great news. Not only will you not die, if you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so the temptation for Eve was not to fall down, but it was to rise up. To be like God, where she didn't have to depend upon God. She could be her own God. And that's really at the heart of sin. When we sin, it's because we want what we want when we want it. We want to be in charge. We want to be the captain of our own ship. We want to make our own decisions. The middle letter in the word pride is I. Pride is all about the big I. And you can't have a relationship with God when you're proud. He's opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And so Eve bought into the lie that God wasn't good, that the way to get the things in life that you really want, satisfaction and enlightenment and wisdom and all these wonderful things, the way you do that is not through obeying God. It's through disobeying God. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, that it was desirable to make one wise, she took from the tree and ate and gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And everything fell apart from there. Well, we have Bobby on the line from Texas. Bobby, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Bobby, go ahead.
I believe, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to know if you know what C.S. Lewis said. What language did God use to create the universe?
What did he say?
He said God used the language of mathematics, and I believe it to be true because the lawgiver set the law of pi, and pi cannot change. And once you've set a law of gravity, a law of thermodynamics, a law of mathematics, why does 2 plus 2 equal 4 every time? Because it's law. And that's all I wanted to say, sir.
Okay.
C.S. Lewis hit the nail on the head.
All right, Bobby. Well, thank you. Thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for calling in and sharing that. God bless you, my friend. We have Carolyn on the line from Texas. Carolyn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
And good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
It's just a real pleasure to be here, and I wanted to tell you I appreciate your ministry so very much. I thank you for expounding on things. And I have just started listening to John MacArthur myself, very interested in getting a more biblical approach coming out of 5 years in a charismatic movement and understanding the importance of biblical truth. And so I'm just very excited on this path. So my question to you, because I've seen some errors or things that I'm concerned about in a pure Calvinist view. You just mentioned lightly at the beginning the concept of limited atonement. Could you just go over that in a little more detail on your take on limited atonement, why that is a slightly off kind of doctrine, and is that the difference as being in the Baptist denomination as opposed to, let's say, a Presbyterian denomination?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Carolyn. Those are good questions. So I think that Baptist, Presbyterian, in general, you're going to have people that believe Calvinists and non-Calvinists in both of those, although the Presbyterian tends to be more Calvinistic for sure. That's why they call them the frozen chosen. But here's my take on limited atonement. So the idea that Jesus didn't die for everybody, he only died for the elect. And the thinking is that he didn't waste his blood. The rich royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't wasted. It has efficacy, and the efficacy is for those who believe, and the Lord knows those who believe, and he chooses. You didn't choose me, but I chose you, Jesus said. And I agree with that the Lord did choose us, and no man can come to God unless the Father who sent me draws him, Jesus said. And I will raise him up on the last day. Now, I believe all of that, but I think that God draws every one. I think that the Lord opens the eyes of people, and when they respond to general revelation, he gives them more revelation, but he doesn't make people believe. And I think as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, we can tell every single person, hey, Jesus died on the cross for you. And the promise, as it says in Acts 2, the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And when God calls, then you respond to that. And I think that we have a message that says, hey, Jesus didn't just die for the elect, he died for the whole world. And so if you will come to Christ in humility, brokenness, repentance, and faith, he will save you. And if you believe in limited atonement, you can't say to every single person that Jesus died for you, because you don't know that. You would say, well, I hope Jesus died for you, but you may not be elect, so then Jesus didn't die for you. And I just think John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I think the love of God goes out to every single person that says, if you will come to me and repent and believe, you will be saved. And so that's my take on that. Does that help, Carolyn?
Concept of the second. Oh, it does. It's also the concept of the second Adam as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the second Adam, and first Adam was the everyman, so to speak. And so,
right.
Yes, I thank you very much. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Carolyn. Yeah, so there are two men that ever lived, the only two men that ever lived in God's economy, Adam and Christ. In Adam all die, and you're born into that in Christ are all made alive, and you're born again into the Lord Jesus Christ as you repent and believe. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. The phone lines are open. When we come back from the break, we have Greg from Tennessee. Call in and let's talk, 888-589-8840.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
Let's be real. Retirement is expensive, and inflation is making it even harder with the cost of everything going up, from pet food to a dozen eggs. Wouldn't it be great if the cost of your health care could go down? Well, MediShare 65 Plus is $99 a month for ages 65 to 74. And for many with Medicare Parts A and B, looking at other options, that's 50% or more saved per month. No gimmicks. It's $99 a month, and you can use any Medicare-approved doctor or facility, and you get 24/7 access to telehealth from the convenience of your home. Better yet, MediShare is a Christian nonprofit organization. It's a community that'll pray for you and encourage you. And since we've cut out the middleman, you get to keep the savings. Call now. You can learn more about MediShare 65 Plus. Here's the number, 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
We're in the financial business. We manage a couple of trusts and some estates, and of course, our own monies too.
Courtney Trotter talks about the charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
I understand annuities about as much as anyone, I guess, can. So I just felt the charitable gift annuity was a win-win situation for many people that still are generating income and still have assets, because you never know when you may have to draw down on something like that. And if you don't ever have to, then it's even a better gift to get to a really good foundation like AFA, a very solid investment, a good way to help do the Lord's work, and it's there to help us as well.
Find out if the charitable gift annuity can work for you by calling the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We are going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to talk to you. We've been talking some about Calvinism and about my time at the Shepherd's Conference, John MacArthur's church, Grace Community Church, and a great time to be with brothers in the Lord. We may not agree on everything as far as Calvinism goes, but we can. That is not a test of fellowship. And if you've been born again by the blood of the Lamb, you and I are brothers and related in the Lord, and we can rejoice together and have fellowship together. And so we have Greg on the line from Tennessee. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
If I understand correctly, angels were created with free will just as man was. We're both created with free will.
Right. Angels.
And
go ahead.
Well, and Satan used his free will to say he would be as God, And he's used his free will to tempt Adam and Eve to say they could be as God, and their will chose to follow after that temptation. And in the New Testament, God's will says that all men should come to repentance. And when the Bible says all, it means all. You know, you can't change that. All is all. You know, for all have fallen and come short of the glory of God. You know, all have sinned. You know, so all is all. And I don't understand how Calvinism can take the free will of man and say there's no free will of man. You have to be elect. You have to be special in God's eyes to be saved. To me, that eliminates the need for Calvary and the gospel. I share with people when I'm trying to share Christ with them, God's will is that all people should come to repentance. I said salvation occurs when you align your will with God's, and the only way to do that is through the gospel. That's the only way a man can align his will with God's will is through the gospel. Other than that, God cannot look upon us. He cannot consider us. But once we receive the gospel, once he makes us born again and his spirit moves into us, then we are capable of fulfilling the will of God. And by his will and through his grace and his mercy, we're allowed to spend our life preparing to be with him for eternity.
Right. That's true. That's the gospel. And we, apart from the gospel, we can't be connected to God. We can't have a relationship with him. So we come to God through faith in Christ, through repentance and faith. And, you know, Greg, the big difference would be, okay, God has to initiate that because salvation is a work of the Lord. And, but the parable in Matthew 22 about the king that's giving a wedding feast for his son, the invitation goes out and people reject it. They say, no, I'm busy, I can't come. And he ends that up by saying, many are called, the word for called is invited, but few are chosen. Now, I've always taken that to say, okay, well, who got to come to the wedding feast? Many are called, many are invited, but the ones that were welcomed to the feast were those who said, well, I want to come. And so I believe that you're not going to meet anybody in heaven who says, well, I didn't want to come, but I had no choice. He just made me do it. I mean, it's whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And it's God, I need you, and I see that I'm a sinner, and you have opened my eyes to truth. I think that the unpardonable sin is when people have their eyes open to the truth, as what happened in Matthew chapter 12 when Jesus gave the warning about the unpardonable sin. The Holy Spirit's job is to open blind eyes, to convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. And when the Holy Spirit does that and you still reject, well, that is the unpardonable sin, because there's nothing else that God can do. Your eyes have been opened to truth and you have said no. And so there's that sin can't be forgiven, because Jesus is the forgiver. And if you reject him, there is no salvation. So I think you made a great point, Greg. I'm in full agreement. So God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for that word of wisdom. Well, we have Julio on the line from Texas. Julio, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Brother Shreve. It's so good to talk to you. How you doing this morning, sir?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Hey, I got a big cup of coffee, and I'm happy, so I can't complain.
Good.
Hey, sir. So I've been having a lot of conviction about the way I'm going about being offended with people that are attacking, you know, my Christian faith, and, you know, attacking Christianity nowadays. And I feel as if I have to, I want to, you know, you can only do so much. You can only argue so much. You can only say so much to somebody. And it just gets to me. And I just want to know, you know, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is like 1 Timothy 6:12, fight good fight, you know, but I want to do it in the best way. You know, I don't even know what I'm saying, but I really don't want to offend anyone. If anything, I want to bring somebody on our side. So I guess where I'm trying to get at is like, can you maybe help me in that situation? Like, what can I do differently?
Yeah. Great question. Thanks, Julio. Well, I think this, you know, we're called to be faithful witnesses. And so, you know, once you become a Christian, you are put into the Lord's army and you are a witness. And so the question is not, are you a witness? The question is, what kind of witness are you? Are you a faithful witness? Are you a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? Does your life line up with the message? Or are you an unfaithful witness? Are you a poor witness whose life doesn't match up, and you're not opening your mouth and you're not sharing the good news? And as the song says, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born and Jesus Christ saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. If we're not sharing that, then we're not being very faithful. Here's the thing, though, I think you gotta watch for. So we want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And the gospel message is offensive because it tells people you're a sinner and you're a hopeless, helpless sinner and you're on the highway to hell. People don't like to hear that. Okay. So share the gospel and it convicts and it calls people, men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. And so they don't come to the light lest their deeds should be exposed. And so there's a sense that they don't want to hear that. Well, that's the gospel message, and it's good news for sure. That's what the word means. Evangelion means good news, good story. But the good news only is good when you believe the bad news, and the bad news is you're a helpless, hopeless sinner on the highway to hell. So here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to add to the offense. You don't want to be offensive yourself and be obnoxious. We need to shine and share. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be cramming the witness and the gospel down anybody's throat, because some people aren't ready to hear that. And so they may need to just hear a word that says that Jesus Christ is real. He is God in the flesh who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. Maybe we just share that with them. And then we let them know. I was in a cab, in an Uber, actually on Friday, going from Burbank to LAX, and my Uber driver was openly homosexual and told me about his boyfriend and stuff. And so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, how do I talk to this guy? So I told him what I did. I told him what I was there for, the conference. And then I shared my testimony with him and the gospel message with him. And I you know, kind of left it at that. And, you know, it's an awkward thing to talk to somebody and say, well, you know, you're a helpless, hopeless sinner on the highway to hell. But people need to know that. And so I would just encourage you, Julio, if you sense you're cramming things down people's throat, you need to back up, because they're not ready to hear. A friend of mine said one time, he was talking to some guys on the street, and he said, do you guys want to hear the good news about Jesus? And they said, no, we don't want to hear that. And he said, all right, then I'm not going to tell you, and I'm not going to throw my pearls before swine. And Jesus warned us to not do that. And so we share with those that that need to hear, but we share more with those who want to hear. And if there's not an open door there, we need to move on. And Jesus says, you shake the dust off your feet and go to the next place. And you say, okay, well, this guy didn't want to hear, this lady didn't want to hear, but there's somebody else that wants to hear, and somebody else that the Lord is working on and the Lord is preparing. So, hey, I appreciate your zeal, Julio, and may God bless you. Thank you for calling in today, and thank you for your desire to be the witness the Lord wants you to be. Well, we have Mike on the line from Texas. Mike, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Mr. Pastor Jeff. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Great. Can you give your 2 cents worth of the difference, the polar opposite of Calvinism, which is Arminianism? Uh-huh. Is that correct?
Yeah. Calvin, yeah.
And, and give your opinion of it?
Yeah. So Arminianism is the polar opposite of Calvinism. And that's going to say it's all about free will, And so here's a great website. I've shared this before, but a great website, gotquestions.org. And it has answers. It has solid answers to all sorts of questions. And so it gives a great summary of that. But so Arminianism is named after Jacobus Arminius. He lived from 1560 to 1609. He was a Dutch theologian. And so Calvinism is going to emphasize the sovereignty of God, and Arminianism is going to emphasize the responsibility of man. And they break it down into 5 points. Partial depravity, they say, is the first point. Conditional election: God only chooses those whom he knows will choose to believe. No one is predetermined for either heaven or hell. Unlimited atonement: Jesus died for everyone, even for those who are not chosen and who will not believe. Resistible grace: God's call to be saved can be resisted or rejected. The rich young ruler is a good example of that. And conditional salvation: Christians can lose their salvation if they actively reject the Holy Spirit's influence in their lives. So of those, I would say don't believe in conditional salvation. Once you're saved forever. Partial depravity: humanity is depraved but still able to seek God. I would say it's more than that, but I think that when God illumines your mind and your heart, that you are able to respond to him. So I would be kind of in between on the partial depravity and total depravity there. But conditional election, I don't believe in unconditional election. I believe it's that you're elected based on how you respond to the gospel. And I've heard John MacArthur say this before. He said, listen, that's a divine mystery, because we know that God is sovereign, and Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. But we also know that man is responsible. And so why does a person go to hell? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, but they took pleasure in wickedness. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And so both of those things work together. And he has said before, I am not able to comprehend how God works that out, but we know that he does. My father-in-law, who is a pastor for 50 plus years, who's in heaven now, he said the classic illustration. He said, you know, on the portals of hell, of heaven, when you walk in, you see whosoever will may come. And then on the other side, when you're in heaven, you see written on the gate on the other side, chosen from the foundation of the world. And so those two things, man's responsibility and God's sovereignty, those work together in salvation. And we know that if the Father doesn't draw us, no man seeks after God. So if the Father doesn't draw us, we're not coming. It is a work of God. But when the Father draws, then we have a choice, as the rich young ruler had the choice. Are we going to receive him or reject him, crown him or crucify him? What are we going to do? The song says, What shall you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? So is that helpful, Mike?
Sir, yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you, brother. Well, we have Helen on the line from Texas. Helen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I've enjoyed hearing the program and hearing your discussion, and you've been so wonderful in bringing out the clarity of salvation through faith. For whosoever will may come. And I wanted to share my testimony of how the Lord spoke to me so clearly about that when I was hearing messages concerning that. It sounded like that wasn't so. And
yeah.
And that Jesus didn't die for all men. But then I heard as I was reading God's word that morning and praying, God really emphasized to me where it brought out in Romans 5, 12 through 21, especially verse 20, when it said Adam brings out in those.
Helen, I hate to cut you off. We're right up against the break. Please call in tomorrow. I'd love to talk to you about this. And so you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We've been talking about Calvinism. We'll do another program on this subject because it is very vast. Hey, go out, shine and share, and let God use your life today for his glory. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.